If you would turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, I want to talk to you tonight about some things in relation to doctrine, and particularly about the doctrine that Paul preached, and kind of do a contrast of some things in relation to what Paul preached and what Jesus Christ taught, what the 12 taught, and so forth. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy 1, in 1 Timothy 1, in verse, well, I'm just trying to find a good place to cut in here. Yeah, let's look over in chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecy which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexandra, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. The thing I want you to notice there is back in verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, Timothy. What Paul committed to Timothy was called later on the form of sound words, and it's referred to in the Bible as doctrine. And if you want a definition of what doctrine is, it's really just simply teaching. It has to do with that which is basic to the faith. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 15, Paul says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, notice, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So doctrine is extremely important in the Bible, and Paul mentions doctrine more than any other apostle in the New Testament. And also it's mentioned, I think, about 50 times in the Bible, but more so by Paul than any other. And so what I want us to look at tonight is doctrine as it relates to the church, the body of Christ, as opposed to Christ. In other words, the Bible talks about Christ's doctrine. It talks about the doctrine of God. It talks about the doctrine of the apostles. And then we have the doctrine committed to the apostle Paul. So first of all, I want us to notice over here on this side of the cross. Of course, we'll put the cross right here like we usually do the timeline. And then you've got over here on this side of the cross, Matthew through John. Now, we know that that time period represents the life of Christ. It presents the life of Christ, I should say. And the Lord Jesus Christ came, the Bible says, unto his own received him not. And he began a ministry at age 30 and for 3 years taught things concerning the offering of a kingdom to the nation Israel. Go back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And just want to look at a few verses about the doctrine of Christ. And of course, that doctrine had to do with his teaching to the 12 primarily. But in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21, Jesus Christ is talking to some people. And he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Well, then we know what he's preaching. He's preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. "But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then shall I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." And that rock would be a picture of sound doctrine. "Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. In other words, what he's teaching there sounds like just a simple illustration, but the Bible calls it doctrine, and that is the doctrine of basically building upon the right foundation. But what's interesting is he says it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Why? For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So the people understood, they saw a difference in the doctrine, the teachings of Jesus Christ, as opposed to the scribes. And that's extremely important because Jesus Christ told the disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but don't do after their works. And so there was a difference in the teaching of Christ and the teaching of the Pharisees and scribes that came before him and were a continual resistance to what he was teaching. Look over in Matthew chapter 22. It's freezing up on your computer? Oh, you don't have video at all? Okay. Oh, the voice. Well, then just close the camera there. That'll cut it off. Now, it should keep the voice on there. Because according to the screen here, I'm still getting voice. So if you've got an earphone, you can plug it in your computer there and see if you're hearing it. But anyway, we'll see if you get any more messages. If not, they can just shut it off at home. Look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Dave, you might go over and type in on that sidebar that you're getting new internet service in case people didn't hear that, and we'll be.
Every time you get
server, okay. Well, it's both of us trying to access the same server is the problem. Matthew 22, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "You do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God." Well, let's back up because the question here has arisen about resurrection. Look back in verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, "Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. And there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third, unto the seventh, and last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of whom the seven, for they all had her?" In other words, they're trying to trick Jesus Christ. Remember, the scribes did not believe in resurrection. The Pharisees did, but the scribes did not. So Jesus answered and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine." In other words, they were amazed at his teaching in relation the authoritative teaching about the resurrection. You had that continual debate between the scribes and the Pharisees, one saying there was no resurrection, the other saying there is a resurrection. And so there was that continual debate. Look over in Mark chapter 11. In Mark chapter 11. Well, actually, go to Mark 1 first. Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, in verse 21, Mark 1, 21. "And they went in Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught him as one that had authority and not as the scribes." Now, what I want you to notice is that doctrine is called the doctrine of God. And that's important because we're going to see that when Paul talks about doctrine, he talks about the doctrine of God as well. But it's important to understand that every message that ever came forth in the Bible, whether it's the Old Testament, whether it's the kingdom message, whether it's the 12, whether it's Paul, all the messages came from God, but that doesn't make it all the same message. Like God gave Noah some specific instructions. He gave Adam and Eve some specific instructions, but they weren't the same. And so things change throughout the Bible. So over here, we have the doctrine of Christ, but it's also spoken of as being the doctrine of God. Go over to John chapter 7. John 7. In John 7, and look in verse, John 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." So, whenever we hear people teaching that which is called doctrine, and by the way, over the years I've heard a lot of people try to distance themselves from doctrine. In other words, they have the idea that doctrine is some kind of deep teaching. We had some men at our church many years ago that was preaching there, and they made the statement that, you know, Brother Moore was there and he was teaching some stuff, and they said, well, this one man got up to preach and he said, "Well, I don't believe in teaching doctrine, I just believe in preaching Jesus." Well, it's all doctrine. Every bit of it is doctrine, and it's all the Word of God. It's all teaching. It's all information upon which we build our life. You know, I've heard people try to separate the information about how we get saved versus that information about how we ought to live. People say, well, you ought not to preach on that kind of stuff, the practical stuff, but it's all doctrine. It's all teaching. It all came from the Lord. It all came from God Almighty. The first doctrine we see is that the doctrine of Christ. And it's what Christ teaches over here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the reason that this is a significant issue is because we need to understand that the doctrine changes as time progresses. In other words, there was doctrine back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as we mentioned so many times, and I don't want to go back over all that. But, for example, there was doctrine about prayer. We're going to be doing a study on that probably the next time we meet. But there was doctrine about prayer. There was doctrine about selling what you had. And there was doctrine. But the most important doctrine is about salvation. And the reason that we rightly divide the word of truth and distinguish the doctrine from the church, the body of Christ, from the kingdom, is because the doctrine of salvation back here is altogether different than it is over here in the early part of Acts. And in Romans 3, Philemon. But it's all doctrine. It's all truth. In Acts 1 through 8 particularly, you have the apostles' doctrine. Now, of late, I've heard some people say, well, the doctrine that's being taught over here that Christ taught them to teach is not the same as what was taught back here. And the idea that behind that is that people have a hard time understanding how people could be keeping the law over here in the book of Acts and be right in doing so after the cross, when the Bible says that grace came by that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. But the important issue there, and what you have to ask yourself, that may be true, but when did they know it? When did anybody make known that the law was taken out of the way? I mean, in Matthew chapter 23, look over there in relation to this doctrine of Christ. In Matthew 23, verse 1, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." Now notice, "All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do." There's a very important word there, and that word is observe. And I would challenge you to take a concordance, if you have one, and look that word up and see how many times it's referenced in according to the law in the Old Testament. The law is something that you observe. It's an observance. Well, he told them, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Now, I'm not a scholar, I'm not highly intelligent, but I believe the words on the page, and I believe when Jesus told them that, he means what he's saying. And he's telling them, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Well, what would the scribes and the Pharisees bid people to observe? The law? They were teachers of the law. But he goes on to say, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. You see, there wasn't anything wrong with them preaching the law. What was wrong was when they expanded upon the law and added their words to it. But as far as the teaching of the law, Jesus said, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Now, when you compare that with Matthew 28, Matthew 28, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them, notice, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, those were some of the last words that Christ spoke to the 12. And he doesn't change anything from what he had previously said, does he? So you get over to the book of Acts, and in Acts we have, well, I'll tell you, before we go there, look in Luke chapter 24. In Luke 24, because people, for some reason, have the idea that everything changed according to Luke 24. Well, just notice what he says here. Luke 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. Oh, okay. Is that somebody's phone? Don't worry about it. I'm used to it. I got 7 grandkids. All of them got cell phones just about. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, I don't see, and I'm waiting for somebody to show me that disagrees with this, but I haven't had anybody do so yet. I don't see anywhere so far where Christ has changed the instructions given to the 12 of Matthew 23, Matthew 28, and Luke 24 certainly doesn't do it. Because what does he tell them to preach? Repentance and remission of sins. Well, look over in Acts chapter 2. Let's see what they were preaching. You see, you got this, some folks believe that Peter's preaching the cross over there and going, you know, hard at it, preaching the gospel of grace, or maybe not the gospel of grace, but preaching the cross, basically like Paul did. Well, remember, Jesus said, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Well, you get over to Acts 2:38, and I don't think it's just a coincidence that the Bible says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. What did he say was going to be preached? Baptism for repentance and remission of sins. Well, that's exactly what Peter's preaching. Now, there's another verse that carries this further. Look over in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, Peter is preaching to Cornelius. And after they go through all this debate about the vision that Peter saw and whether he ought to be down there at the household of Cornelius or not and all that kind of stuff that you can read about. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Now, notice the next verse. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and begin from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Well, then those verses indicate that Peter's not preaching anything different than what John preached and what Christ told him and the 12 to preach. And he's preaching to a Gentile. And so what does he say? He says in verse 35, in every nation he that doeth what? Feareth him and worketh righteousness. Now this is all the way over in Acts chapter 10. And Peter is still preaching a message of working righteousness. I would say it probably has to do with observing some things that they were taught to observe in Matthew 23, told to preach in Matthew 28. People say, well, you can't find anywhere over there Peter's preaching the law in Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Why would he have to? I mean, you're talking to a bunch of Jews that are meeting on the feast days according to the law. He goes up into the temple and prays according to the Jewish law, and here he's preaching to James or to Cornelius the same message that was preached from the baptism of John. Now, the importance of all this, folks, is this. And the reason I mention all this is not just trying to make an issue over it, but the importance is, look in Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll come back to Acts about the doctrine there. But look in Ephesians. We back on? And it's not even cold up here. If people knew how hot it was in this house, they wouldn't be using the word freezing. It might be stopping, but it ain't freezing, I can assure you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now notice, that the Gentiles,